right, we are plugged in, ready to rock and roll, just waiting on Mr. Jim West, plugging in with me from New York City. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. Welcome, members. Thanks so much for your continuing support. Really, really helps a lot. Helps me out so much to continue this and keep going forward. So much to cover. Going to chat tonight with Jim West, author and researcher. We're going to go into part two of our talk, continuing from last week, which was autism and the elephant in the room with Jim West. That was part one. We're going to do part two tonight. So just waiting on Jim. We're going to look at his recent work.
I'm live.
There he is. I was just talking, Jim. Talking about the last podcast we did, which I caused I called autism and the elephant in the room. This was looking at Andrew Wakefield's work, the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, and autism and ultrasound technology. And how ultrasound technology is not, never gets a mention here. And I thought this was really interesting and we should continue. So we're going to do part two and look at your paper that you've been spending a hell of a amount of time on. It's pretty full on, man. You put a lot of work into these papers that you do. The public has not seen this yet. So why don't we cover it, Mr. West?
Okay, this paper is the Wakefield paper that I wrote, right?
Brand new.
Yeah, this is a shiny piece of paper. You want me to start babbling?
We will, and absolutely continue, because as I said, this is a continuation from last week's show. So it's critical information. It's not something being talked about too much. So go ahead, Jim. We'll go through your paper here, and this will go up first for members, and then I'll put it out after that.
Okay. So when Vaxxed, the film, came out, which is a movie by Wakefield and Del Bigtree and Polly Tommy, they had the premiere in New York City. I showed up and I talked to everybody. I talked to all these people. I talked to Andrew Wakefield for about 5 minutes straight or more. I tried to get him interested in my book and challenged him on some ideas. And then there were like three premieres in New York. They ran day after day in different theaters. I showed up at each one and I talked to him. I talked to him about three times, Del Bigtree about twice, Polly Tommy. I tried to talk to Polly Tommy, but she said, "I'm not smart. Go talk to my husband," you know. And which was sort of a sarcastic thing or something. It didn't make any sense, you know. I mean, I think it was not cool. But anyway, Andrew Wakefield, I gave him my book. He told me he was impressed with it, but he hasn't changed his story and the way he thinks about autism and how it implicates his study. The idea of ultrasound being the primary initiator of autism, which is pretty obvious when you get into it, should affect the way he looks at all this, but it doesn't. And so I wrote an article over the last several days, over the last week, and you gave me some encouragement. I appreciate that. So I go into some depth. This is actually the first time I actually read the Wakefield paper. Before, I was just reading what everybody was saying about it. And so here it goes. Andrew Wakefield is a pro-vaxxer. I am an anti-vaxxer. I have read commentaries about Wakefield, but I have not read his study. It seems obvious that his formidable critic, Brian Deere, is a slime ball. Correct? Yeah. Okay, now I'm reading Wakefield's famous retracted study of the MMR vaccine, published in The Lancet, 1998. And the MMR vaccine is the measles, mumps, rubella attenuated virus vaccine. The paper was retracted in 2010, 12 years later. Why did it take so long? I don't know. But anyway, so Wakefield is the senior scientific investigator, the senior author on that paper who coordinated all the other workers, all the other scientists. The study reviews 12 children with developmental delays and intestinal disorders, and it associates these symptoms with a prior MMR vaccine, but not in terms of the entire vaccine, the chemicals. It just associates these autism-like symptoms with the viruses in the vaccines. He doesn't go into the chemicals. Okay, here now. So there's an issue with toxicology, which is common in medicine, and it's common with Wakefield. And he does it, the art of avoiding toxicology, he does very well. I think he knows what he's doing. So I would say that he is a conscious slime bag. Here goes. The study mentions the word antibiotic one time, and I quote, "The child developed recurrent antibiotic resistant middle ear infection and the first behavioral symptoms." So at the same time, okay, now that's a revealing statement. Antibiotics are a common treatment for children. The devastating developmental delay could be the result of antibiotic treatment, which failed. That is, the child became antibiotic resistant because of repeated antibiotic treatments. Now, this is sort of a standard thing, you know. So why didn't he include antibiotics in his study? He mentioned them. He realizes they're giving these children antibiotics. Now, if you look at the film that he directed called Vaxxed, the famous film, he interviews Doreen Grampuchet, PhD, who is the founder of the Center for Autism and Related Disorders. She is an expert in the treatment of autistic children, and she says that the first thing and the main thing that she noticed was a very high use of antibiotics in these children. So, again, he's aware that there's a toxicological factor, not a virus factor necessarily, okay, with autism. So why hasn't he changed his story? He hasn't changed his story. Okay, now, the producer, in addition to Big Tree, that wasn't me, being a producer. Polly Tommy is a producer, and she reported in the Vax film that vaccines prior to her son's autism occurred. But if you listen carefully to her interview, she's saying that the vaccine symptoms merely triggered her to bring her son back to the doctor for a prescription of antibiotic pills. And that's what she was feeding her child when he got autism, when they realized he's in big trouble. She was stuffing these antibiotic pills down his throat. And her mother was complaining, and she blew her mother off, saying her mother was a hippie. Okay, so she's good at blowing people off. She blew me off. She blew her mother off. And now, obviously, antibiotics are a major concern, and you can see it in the Vaxxed film, which they go by it. They don't they don't act like they're aware of what people are saying. They just keep focusing on the vaccine connection to autism. Mm. Right. But they don't get into the vaccine thing, which you know they're aware of. They should be aware of. Okay. But I have to give him credit. At least he left it in. He could have edited that out of the film, you know.
The antibiotic thing, you mean.
Yeah. But nobody, you know, because nobody's really catching it. You know, the title of the film is Vax, so you're not even thinking antibiotic. Now, the study ignores neomycin, which is a preservative antibiotic in the MMR vaccine. So when you realize that antibiotics are found in these children and that the vaccine itself has an antibiotic, so far you can replace the word vaccine with the word antibiotic. Everything's an antibiotic. That's what we're really talking about here. That's what he's really talking about, but he won't admit it, and he won't, and his study doesn't mention it, nor does his film. Now, let's see here. There is a study which I found, an ultrasound study that found that ultrasound at very light application can potentiate the destructive power of an antibiotic by 100-fold. Okay? So the antibiotic and the vaccine is not that dangerous by themselves, but if you're doing it to a previously ultrasounded child, there's a good chance he's going to, you know, be destroyed, you know. So the system can argue that vaccines are safe because, in a sense, they are not too dangerous by themselves. And when they do rat lab studies to determine how dangerous a vaccine is, they're not using mice or rats that have previously had ultrasound, like humans. Humans have ultrasound. So we're already pre-damaged, ready for that telltale antibiotic shot. Now, another thing that Wakefield does is he talks about the vaccine virus. That's what's bothering him. That's what's causing autism, he's implying. And he says that this is an environmental trigger. Now, this is a little slimy, because what he's doing is he's putting the word virus in the category of environmental trigger. Usually you think of environment as, you know, like industrial pollution. Let me close the window, okay? 1 second. Too darn noisy.
New York City, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man, they're out there.
It never stops.
Yeah, the city that never wakes up. Okay, so he's taking it. He's lumping virus under environment. Now the brain can no longer go use this dichotomy. You know, hey, is it a germ or is it the environment? Is it a virus or the environment? That's gone now. He eliminated that, because now a virus is just like stack pollution or ultrasound or X-rays. It's just another part of your environment, which is a slimy thing to do. He shouldn't do that. The World Health Organization, when they do an environmental study, they specifically tell you that they're not going to include germs in the word environment. You know, they don't want to confuse people. But Andrew Wakefield is more than happy to confuse everybody and make it impossible to think of toxicology. Now, when he talks about environmental triggers, we have to realize that a trigger must trigger a pre-existing vulnerability. Wakefield, in his study, says, oh, well, that's probably a genetic predisposition, which is the most highly funded industrial hack view that he's promoting. And the genetic predisposition argument is another way of avoiding toxicology, avoiding ultrasound or chemicals in the vaccine. So
it's a good one to hide behind, isn't it? The genetic predisposition one. It's a good card. The genetic predisposition one is it's a good card for them to pull out.
Well, it's the original sin thing, you know. Yeah. All your problems are due because you're a sinner, you know.
That's right. You're just going to get it.
Yeah, it's your built, you're man. Weak. Yeah, you're evil weak. And you're weak, you know.
It might as well not even bother. It's inbuilt in there. Yeah. You're going to, you know, you're done.
Say hi to autism, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm surprised we're not born with autism. Well, that his idea is that we are. That's what the theory is. You know, yeah. You're basically born with it.
Yeah.
So, thing is, though, genetic predisposition is based on twin studies. And these are admittedly a very weak study because it depends on the equal environment assumption, the EEA. And you cannot assume that twins in a womb exposed to ultrasound are under an equal environment. One's going to get more than the other. One can shadow the other, etc. So it's bull, genetic predisposition. Now, there's another thing about this study called selection criteria. It doesn't mention any selection criteria. Where did they get these 12 children? It's amazing that he doesn't tell you, and it's amazing that the magazine published him without describing the selection criteria. That's always done. Any study, population study, they tell you how they acquired the children, because depending on how they acquire the children, the filtering process of what these children should be, that will dictate the outcome of your study. Now, that seems to me that Wakefield and The Lancet, which published his work, are equally guilty of doing an equally slimy, because that's a very obvious slimy thing to do, to leave out the selection criteria. He says the children, 12 children consecutively referred, and that's what he uses. That's all he says about the selection criteria. They were consecutively referred. Of course, you know, you don't get them 12 at once. You're going to get them 12 one at a time. So he's just telling you that they receive them one at a time for examination. What? That doesn't tell you anything. It's a worthless BS statement that gives you the sense that there was some selection criteria, but there is no selection criteria. Okay, so it's just looking bad, you know. And which is hard to believe that anybody, you know, that handsome and smart could be evil. But it's looking that way, you know. Let's see here. Okay, now, Brian Deere is Wakefield's detestable critic. And now when you start reading him, he doesn't seem so bad. I'm going to read Brian Deere now from the British Medical Journal, 2011. How the case against the MMR vaccine was fixed by Wakefield. Number one, the Lancet paper was a case of 12 children. It reported a new syndrome of regressive autism and associated with the MMR as an apparent event. But in fact, three of nine children reported by Wakefield with autism did not have autism diagnosed at all. Only one child clearly had regressive autism. Two, despite the paper claiming that all 12 children were previously normal, five had documented pre-existing developmental problems. Three, some children were reported to have experienced behavior problems within days of the MMR, but the records documented these as starting months after vaccination. In nine cases, unremarkable colonic, gastrointestinal disease noted no or minimal fluctuations in the inflammatory cell populations, and that this was changed, you know, just prior to the study being done. They changed it, you know. And then the parents of 8 children were reported as blaming MMR, but 11 families made this allegation at the hospital where Wakefield was doing his research. They hadn't been saying this before. The allegation, the inclusion, or not, it wasn't, the exclusion of 3 allegations, all giving times to onset of problems in months, not a few days, helped to create the appearance of a 14-day temporal leak, a link. Yeah, because 3 of the 12 children, the distance, the time between the MMR and the vaccine and the autism was months. So there's really no link there, you know. Patients were recruited through anti-vaccine groups, and the study was commissioned and funded for planned litigation in court based on the findings of the study. And he doesn't mention any of this. It's not mentioned as a conflict of interest in his paper. You know, that he had been approached by lawyers to write a paper. He doesn't mention that as a conflict of interest. Hmm. And he says the reason he didn't is because the Lancet says that you need to admit up front anything that might be embarrassing later. And he said, well, I'm not embarrassed by that, so I'm not going to tell anybody. But he is embarrassed later. When they print it in the newspapers, it was quite embarrassing to him. Now he defends himself. I put a link here to a long video interview. And it's basically, he doesn't talk about any of the technical things that I'm talking about that make his study so ridiculous. All he does is he talks about the morality of him wanting to help the children, wanting to help the parents, you know, that we owe it to humanity. You know, it goes on and on with all this. It's all moral talk, you know. Nothing scientific, you know. So, and that's what he does. Whenever you hear him talking, it's just but the thing is, when you talk that way, it seems to attract most people into the conversation in a sympathetic way. You know, it's one of the conservative view criticisms of the left wing is that they're so often seduced by the moral argument, you know, rather than how to really resolve the problem by talking reasonably and logically, you know. But they want to shut down discussion, and that's what seems to be what he's doing. He's trying to shut down discussion preemptively that might put him in hot water because he's enjoying this moral superiority, you know. So Wakefield uses humility to steer autism research away from toxicology and into virology. I'm going to quote him now. We did not prove an association between measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine and the autism-like syndrome we described. However, virological studies are now underway that may help us resolve this issue. Hey, wait a minute. Where's the word toxicology? It's gone, and now we're heading towards this future of virology that Wakefield has laid out for us that'll help resolve the issue. Yay, 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 cheerleaders. So that's what Wakefield is. He's just a typical slime bag, a typical standard he's not even a virologist. You know, he's an MD BSing his way into the moral angle of the vaccine autism thing. you know, it's really bad, you know. So now he might have gotten a pass from the system if he were not critiquing a vaccine. However, the system actually took his study and said, okay, we're just going to publish this garbage, and it's going to be just dangling in the wind, so to speak, in the Lancet, waiting for the right time for somebody like Brian Deer to reveal, you know. And I think at a certain point, after turning the public over the MMR for 12 years, they said, okay, enough of this. We've got 12 years of churning the public with the help of Wakefield. Now we're going to turn him into a martyr and use him for another 12 years. You know? So they got Brian, they just, I assume that they just triggered Brian Deer, fed him some little information, gave him a little help, and off he went. Like a good pharma dog, and he chewed up Wakefield, you know. And Wakefield's gone from Britain, and he's now living in Texas, I think. So now I have a picture of Andrew Wakefield, which I got from the Vaxxed film, where it's a video showing him announcing his study at a press conference in Britain. This is before this is just after he published his study, and he's announcing it, you know. So it's an interesting picture because it shows his co-authors, one with his hand over his face, like he's trying to hide his face, and the other grim and frozen, as if he has nothing to do with Wakefield, you know. It's an interesting, that's the way I end this, and as the legal proceedings proceeded against Wakefield, all of his co-authors, there were numerous of them, they all abandoned him. They would not support him. They had nothing good to say about him. And they all got off. They were weakly prosecuted, and they were then forgiven. But Wakefield was not forgiven. It's too bad that the. It's good that they prosecuted him, but it's bad that they did not prosecute him in the way I'm doing now. They should have prosecuted him like Brian Deer advocates, which is what they did, and to prosecute him for not doing virology. But medicine is industrial medicine, and it's really all about avoiding the toxicology. And Wakefield is one of those medical soldiers doing his bit to avoid toxicology. He still has his license. He's still making a ton of money. He has a corporation in Texas, the Wakefield Corporation. And his books and his film are selling very well. It's one of the leading documentaries in the world. So
and he's part a martyr. 2 out now, isn't it, Jim?
Oh, there's a part 2 now?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I want to do a part 1, you know, have it launched on a Kras Files, you know. And to poke a few holes in him, you know. So that's it.
What do you think what do you think? You think that these guys are just part of that whole system of
covering up is such a standard thing for medicine. Avoiding toxicology is so routine, and they're trained from birth to do it, and all through medical school, and they have so little training in toxicology that I don't think it doesn't even stick in their head. But I stuck it in his head, you know. When I talked to him 3 times, I stuck it real hard, and I told him flat. the whole virus thing was bullshit. That's the word I used. And I showed him the book. I showed him the pictures of the DNA fragmentation from fetal ultrasound. He told me that he had been reading my book overnight and that he had a hard time getting to sleep just thinking about ultrasound fragmentation of the fetal brain. And I just sat there in silence waiting for him to keep talking. But he just said, well, aren't you going to go into the theater now, Mr. West?
Mr.
And I said,
West.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so I went into the theater. I said, yeah, I'm going into the theater, you know. I can, you know. And so I went in and I watched him do his bit, you know. But that's as far as it goes, you know.
They're always covering for the boogeyman. Creating the boogeyman sort of thing, aren't they? Yeah. But in someone in his position with his wealth of, you know, and his power, and as you said, his the way he speaks and his mannerism and the way he presents himself in the films and this whole system that they've created with the vaxxed movies. I mean, it's really an empire, a marching empire, and the anti-vaccination movement all going in, and him as a doctor and a professional, and all of this, that he didn't look at the antibiotics and ultrasound in any of this is quite remarkable. You'd think that he would be very, very open, you know, to this information.
Yeah,
But nothing, you know, nothing.
Yeah, I haven't heard his more recent interviews or anything. Maybe, I think Del Bigtree would probably be talking about the chemicals. You know, maybe he's changed his tune a little bit. But I don't know. I haven't heard anything. You know, every once in a while I check in on the Del Bigtree radio show, you know, but I haven't heard them. If they do accept this ultrasound thing and everything, they'll probably take it without me around.
Yeah, as we said, you'll get knocked over the head by a doctor in a lab coat in an alleyway. And then we'll never see you again.
Steal my ultrasound.
Yeah, they'll steal my ultrasound. Yep, and they'll change it all, and then, yeah, you'll disappear.
Pretty soon you'll see my book out there, and it'll say, by Andrew Wakefield.
Yeah.
The Ultrasound Connection. You'll be interviewing him on TV.
Yeah, that's right.
He'll be mimicking my accent.
Yeah. He'll be, yeah. See, yeah. Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, well done, Jim. We'll plug out now. We'll plug out now. I think we'll have to continue on the next show because what I sort of hinted on the last one, you've done more on the Wakefield thing, but I think it's we'll have to do a part three next week in regards to your research, all the bullet points on ultrasound and autism. As well for folks, people, especially who are plugging in who are new, who are not, may not have your books or might want to get them or whatever, or this may be new information for them. You can go through all these important bullet points on this and why you think this is. And also antibiotics, wow. It's not something, I mean, it's amazing to me. I still see antibiotics in such use in modern society. It's amazing. And as kids get sicker, the parents just keep relying on them. And there's that quick kind of fix, and then they're back again and back again. And they're taking all these sweet antibiotics, you know, the liquid forms in the bottles now for the kids. And they're taking so much of them, and it really horrifies me. I think, my God, but most people just think, hey, it's just antibiotics, you know. They don't realize the mechanisms behind it and the damage that can be caused. I don't think people take them that serious because you're talking about some really heavy stuff here. And this is being omitted or not looked at by these people is unbelievable. This is direct stuff that you've put in the article, you know, toxicological damage and, you know, through antibiotic use at these specific times. It's really interesting. But as I said, yeah, it's not something you would, you know, most people would just go and get them. They wouldn't think, you know, that. And you know, hey, if your child's not well, and they're on this downward spiral, and they're constantly sick, and they're going and they're getting these antibiotics in hospitals. How are you going to, you know, that it was the antibiotics that caused the something to go bad with your child, or something terrible to happen, or autism, or whatever? I mean, you can't pinpoint that. Well, there's so much with the vaccines, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah,
maybe our part three will be going into all this stuff about the antibiotic and the ultrasound connection and the antibiotic resistant children that are now showing up.
Yeah, I'm just learning this myself and researching, but it'd be good to get you to go over all this heavy stuff. As we do it. Yeah, okay.
I think we could go through, this stuff, you know, because it's an ultrasound vulnerability followed by vaccine synergy toxicity, you know.
Triggers.
So we can get into that, you know.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. West.
My pleasure.
Great work. Great talking to you as always. This information may not be for everybody. we're kind of voices in the wilderness, but
why not?
I don't know. I hope it would be. I don't know. I would think that maybe the I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I hope it is. I hope it is.
Is it too technical?
No, I just, as you said, you don't want to bag anyone, and he seems like a great guy, and he seems like he wants to help people. It's just that you need to get to the bottom of why things are happening. That's all. I want to, and I haven't found answers, you know.
I think you could catch this if you caught Wakefield, like, you know, if you caught him murdering somebody, he would just talk you out of it.
Yeah.
The guy is so smooth, you
know.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he can talk women's clothes off, yeah.
Yeah, you don't understand why I have to do this, you know. This is really for the better of humanity, you know.
Really,
somebody's
got to
do it. We got to look, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then with that beautiful voice, man, his voice is classic. They have to come out with a electronic Wakefield voice.
You know? Answering That's machines and things,
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not home at the moment, but if you leave your name and number, I'll give you a call back. The smooth operator. But you know,
what's the name of your children? You know, I'd like to enlist them in a study.
Yeah, but you got to question everything, man. You got to question this so-called reality that's spoon-fed to us. We got to question everything, Mr. West. But you know, you got a powerful argument there. You know, in antibiotic use and stuff. Yeah, it's not being looked at. You know,
I just need to get the Wakefield voice happening, man.
I know. Yeah. Just work on it. Practice in the mirror. You know.
Rule the world.
Mm. Yeah, you can rule the world with a voice like that.
But you know, I think we got a topic on the emerging dynasty. The Vax dynasty is happening. They're really going to dominate this whole anti-vax thing. And he's a pro-vaxxer.
Mm.
He's a solid pro-vax guy.
Yeah.
He actually is trying to convince everybody to get rid of the three shots in one and do three shots instead of one. So now you're going to have three toxic shots instead of one toxic shot. But he sees it as three viruses instead of one virus, but it's actually three toxic shots instead of one. So he's making the whole situation worse. Now you got more vaccines you got to give your child. If you have Wakefield, change things the way he wants.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. So we got to get
safer,
out of here.
Making it more safer. Huh? Maybe, all in one safe shots, probably what they want. Yeah, for you. Just get all in one for life.
Yeah, get all the shots in there at one time.
Yeah, or a chip that slowly releases them over your lifetime.
Right. Into your brain.
Yeah, they just put a chip under your child's skin, and for the 5 years or whatever their life, it just slowly releases the stuff into their blood.
Protected.
Yeah. Interesting. They pretend to be against something, but at the same time they're really selling it, right?
Yeah, they're against disease, but they're the main disease producers.
Yeah, it's just a cunning way in the world today how they, you know, sort of steer you and give you what you want to hear, but steer you in other directions. Or it really interests me. Mm. Yeah. Sort of tell you what you want to hear, or you know, and keep getting you to look in the other direction, or like feed you, you know, lots of information that's amazing, but then there's other ways that they can get you to look this way or that way, you know. It's you know, and interesting, at the end of the day we're all still screwed.
Right, for sure. There's not anybody who's gone unscathed, you know.
That's right.
Everybody's got a story, a medical story.
All right. Thanks, Jim. And we're looking forward to the next installment. I'm sure you're going to get pretty technical here with the ultrasound stuff. So I'll put my thinking cap on, and listeners too. We will catch up then.
Right. Next week.